In the next module, we focused on predictors of treatment benefit from CDK4/6 inhibitors and the use of disease extent, visceral involvement, and CNS disease to guide treatment selection. Of great interest is that for a 65-year-old woman presenting with extensive and moderately symptomatic liver metastases, but with normal liver function, all of the faculty would use endocrine therapy and a CDKI, but the most common choice of the respondents to the survey was chemotherapy induction followed by endocrine therapy maintenance, including a CDKI. Interestingly, all of the faculty and most of the respondents believe that the likelihood of response to endocrine therapy plus a CDKI is about the same or greater than chemotherapy in these patients, although four of the faculty and almost half of the respondents believe the rapidity response is greater with chemotherapy, something addressed by Dr. Tulaney in her review. In terms of CNS disease, we presented the case of a 65-year-old woman receiving an adjuvant AI who develops a single brain metastasis that is surgically resected. The faculty and respondents were divided about the use of post-op radiation therapy and the choice of endocrine therapy, with two-thirds of the respondents and three of the faculty including a CDKI. Dr. Tulaney reviewed a variety of specific clinical trial findings addressing these important clinical issues.
So I was really going to try and focus on what factors should really help us select when to give CDK4/6 inhibitors and if there are certain clinical populations or molecular biomarkers that would help us better select patients for treatment. And so I think one question that often comes up is which patients should get chemotherapy upfront versus CDK4/6 inhibition with endocrine therapy. And I think while we have very good data to suggest that these agents, when added to endocrine therapy, prolong progression-free survival, there had been some concern whether or not these agents would actually result in true responses, because biologically we knew these drugs were putting cells into senescence, and so it wasn't clear would they have rapidity and duration of response. And I think what we saw from the clinical data was actually very reassuring, that the objective response rates in the first line setting with combination therapy are around 55% or so, which I think is quite impressive and greater than what we see with endocrine therapy alone. And even in the second line setting, so patients who've progressed on prior endocrine therapy also see very significant objective responses. Depending on their prior lines of therapy, you can see in PALOMA-3, the objective response rate was about 25% with combination therapy and is as high as 48% in patients in the MONARCH 2 trial. And then even looking at a chemotherapy pretreated population in MONARCH 1, you can see just with CDK4/6 inhibition alone with abemaciclib about a 20% response. And so while we see that there are responses, I think the next question comes up is, well, what's the time to response? Because particularly in a patient that you're going to see with visceral disease, you really are trying to get that disease improved quickly. And so this was an exploratory analysis that was conducted in MONARCH 2, looking at time to change in tumor size. And you can see that the shrinkage in the tumor is actually occurring early and to a greater fashion than that seen with just endocrine therapy alone. And when you look at the median change in tumor size that occurred by cycle 12 with combination therapy with fulvestrant and abemaciclib, there was about a 60% decrease in tumor size compared to about 32% in those patients getting fulvestrant alone.